Blog Talk Radio.
News. News gives me the creeps.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And we've all buoyed up tonight, because, sir, as you just heard the tune, we're going on vacation, yes. let me read out the banner tonight, though, guys, and then I'll bring my dear friend, a colleague, Mr. Dave Agador-Milner, to join just after I've just read this. So, English Defence League radio show, typical tyrants and bilious bullies. There you go. Yes. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show. Dave, what you like. With your host, Jeff Holliday Mitchell, and our panelist this evening is Dave A.K. Milner, Jan the Tornado Ready, will join us if she's not already on holiday. Good day. As we pack our bags and cases tonight, almost broke the tune, we will be discussing heavy-handed officials using their offices to spread evil across the globe while lining their corrupt pockets. The English Defence League radio team praise our great listeners have a great, have a safe and prosperous next few weeks. After this evening and must hear archive shows, we'll be back live at our normal time on Thursday, the 5th of September. Stay loud, stay proud, stay vigilant, and no surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring in my vacation friend, Mr. Dave Agador Milner. And I think Dave was just waxing up his circle. Dave, over to you, mate.
All right. Good evening to you, Jeff. And hello to everybody around the world and off Earth, yes, including good evening to everybody in the UK and good afternoon to everybody in the States. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're all excited here at the English Defense League radio show. We have a couple of weeks off and that sort of thing. But as you guys heard, we will be back on the 5th. We're not going away all together. And just want to give you a couple of things that you'll get to hear if you come here at our normal broadcast times until we come back on the 5th, okay? And again, if you're listening to this show on the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, our normal live podcast times are Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And that is when they're normally on. Of course, we're going to be gone for a little bit, but you guys are not going to be left without things to listen to. Okay, the first thing you're going to get is going to be on Thursday the 22nd. That's going to be one of my encore shows. It's called Shadows. I did this within about the last year, and it has to do with our FBI, our Department of Justice, their involvement with Islam, and could it possibly be that this will have something to do with the current anti-Trump conspiracy going on in the deep state? Yeah, it could be. You're going to have to stay tuned to hear that one. And then on Sunday, the 25th, you're going to have a phantasmagorical old-time English Defense League radio team show with an interview of Pamela Geller that Jeff did with our with Tommy English, a great young man who is sorely missed here at the show.
Yeah,
absolutely. And on Thursday, the 29th, all right, you're going to hear another one of my archive shows. This one, Jeff has already heard it as he did hear the other one. This one's called Pedos, with the big push for pedophilia. You guys need to be informed of this. This was done within the last year, and it is about the big push to make pedophilia a civil right. It's something that you need to hear. And on the 1st of September, Sunday the 1st of September, Jeff Mitchell and Tommy English are together again in an interview that they did with the one, the only, Tommy Robinson. And you guys are really going to want to hear those shows. Jeff, you know what? Those shows are so good. I mean, we're going to be giving the people so much. You know, what say you and I just bugger off early now? What about it?
I don't know. We're here now, aren't we? We might as well. We've got a couple of guests that's joined us, seems like. Can't just, I know we got our bags are packed. Dave's just finished waxing his surfboard, and, but, we're here. We might as well complete the mission for tonight, Dave. You know, hey, we'll hang about for a little while. What do you reckon, Dave? That's good.
Yeah, I guess so, Jeff. Yeah, we are here and everything, you know.
Dave's got
so,
one foot in and 1 foot out the door. He's ready to go. He's got all his gear. He's got his Beach Boys shorts. Dave, you got it all, haven't you, mate? You got it all.
I got it all together, Jeff. I got it all together, man. I mean, you know, we're ready to take off. But, you know, we are. We do miss you guys, and we do pray when we're gone that you guys are, you know, do have a wonderful and safe time at this basically end of summer. Yeah. But, Jeff, what about you now? Unless you'd like, would you like to recognize the guests we have in the chat first?
Oh, I would. These are two great gentlemen. We moved Cabal as a friend of mine called Joss. A great gentleman. Good to see you here.
Welcome.
This evening, Joss. Always, buddy. And of course, we got Noddy. He's joining us tonight. And
Noddy.
It's lovely to be here. Remove Cabal. I wouldn't expect
welcome to you, brother.
Evening, fellow bigots.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
he must have heard our last show.
We love seeing you here, don't we, Dave?
He must have heard the last show we did on Thursday. And guys, if you haven't heard that one, you should go back and listen to it. It will come around eventually on the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. But Thursday, we had a monster show that included the chief executive officer of the Exceptional Conservative Network, Mr. Ken McClinton, a man I've known for years. And we just had a bang-up show. You guys should really go back and check that one out. While we're gone, a little something for you. He's an excellent commentator, people. And Jeff and I had a great time with it. Didn't we, Jeff?
Yeah, we certainly
did.
Ken is a wealth of information. And ladies and gentlemen, he's an absolutely awesome patriot, isn't he, Dave? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Jeff, he starts out his shows, every one of his shows, the Exceptional Conservative Show, which comes on at 9:05 p.m. Eastern in the United States, weeknights. He starts off every one of his shows with kids doing our national anthem. It's great. But, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead now, if you don't mind, and give people information about how they can write Tommy Robinson while he is in prison. All right? And you guys can keep us up. He's right now, we think he's going to be incarcerated until about the middle of September. So we'll say a little prayer that everything goes well for him. We do have some information coming up in four audios that were done through Rebel Media, and it's going to have some more stuff. But if you want to write him while he's in prison, he appreciates the paper letters. Because as Jeff, as you say, it helps him spend his time, and that's always a good thing. If you want to send a snail mail to him, all right, you can use the following information. You'll need his real name. This is in case you haven't read a newspaper in the last 3 or 4 years, which is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. That's StephenYaxleyLennon, no dash between the Yaxley and the Lennon. His prison number is A2084CG. That's A as in Alpha, 2084. C as in Charlie, our executive producer, and G as in Golf. You'll need both of those in order to send him a paper letter or to send him email, which we'll get to in just a minute. Okay? He's being held currently, and let's hope it stays that way, at HMP Belmarsh. That's B-E-L-M-A-R-S-H. HMP, of course, standing for Her Majesty's Prison. That's on Western Way, Thamesmead. Now, for Americans, that's T-H-A-M-E-S-M-E-A-D, London, S-E-2-8-0-E-B is the postal code or zip code. That's Southeast 28-0-E-B. And if you want to send him an email, you have to register at this website, but you can send him an email for about 40p. That's less than a buck in American. go to https://www.emailaprisoner.com, and they can get you set up there with an account and everything, and you can send Tommy Robinson mail in prison. He is, by all accounts, receiving his emails, although there's little skullduggery going on, and that's going to be part of what we're going to get into in just a moment. And right, Jeff?
Yeah, we certainly will. Some nefarious things that we found while we was listening to Jessica. Well, she'd had a visit and she was on the way back to the airport. And she'd done a video for us to check out. And a couple of things come out there that are rather nefarious. But we'll explore that as we go through the show.
Sure.
I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil the audio that Jessica had done, because it's a pretty good. I mean, it was quite an extensive audio video, wasn't it, though? I've got to admit, Jessica done as usual sterling work. Well done to her. She just is good at what she does. Do you know what I mean? And I'll give a big salute. And of course, Ezra for all the great works that he's been doing as well. It's thank goodness we have rebel media that does recognise the plight of people like Tommy. And Ezra
has
become really quite close friends with the family and Tommy. So no matter what people say, there's a relationship that Tommy works due to in working with rebel media that... with some friends, you're going to have them for the rest of your life, aren't you, Dave? And I think that's a similar situation what we've got with Rebel Media and Mr. Robinson's concerned. I think you would agree, don't?
Well, I do agree, and I think that Rebel Media is in great part responsible for the decent treatment that Tommy Robinson is getting right now in prison. I mean, it could be way worse. They could have him at HMP only, and it could be nasty, and it's not. And I think that's partly because of all the attention that he's receiving. But Jeff, there was a demonstration that you have new information about. Do you want to get into that real quick before we begin these audios, brother?
I will, and it's just something that I heard over the last day or so, and. It's that the August the 24th demonstration, the hashtag free Tommy demonstration, has been cancelled. As I said, I don't want to go into too many details, but it seems that there is there's concerns about people taking their children there, and that there could be a possible attack by the Antifa scumbags out there, and people. Now, like Tommy said, he doesn't want to see any women and children being hurt. And, I'd probably say the same if I was Tommy. You think about the people, you think about how much love is coming your way. You don't want to see people getting hurt. I can understand that, Dave. I really, truly can. Because if you're put in that situation, maybe you're in a cell for so many hours a day, and you get all these letters, and I know Tommy's been sticking a letter. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy's been sticking letters up on the wall, pictures up on the wall, he's covering his wall, and something I did come across, I don't mind saying this, and Jessica will say, but you're in one of these cells, they're very small cells, aren't they, Dave? Let's be honest here. So Tommy's within a prison within a prison. He doesn't see no sunlight. That's something I've got to let you guys know, and that will explain itself as the audio is played out. But the only way that you can do things, it's got so much mail, he's decided he uses a little bit of toothpaste and he sticks a letter on the wall. Or a little bit of toothpaste and he puts it on the back of the picture and sticks that on. That is how you go about being a part of the system, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. Tommy, it's how you get by. And, I know what I've got out of what I've been listening to. Is Tommy takes, he's got a library in his prison. He's been doing quite well with books, this, that, and the other. So he's got plenty to read up on and other things that he's thinking about when he comes out. especially this Rape of Britain. I think he's going to continue the documentary on that when he's back in the normal surroundings. I know it's been on his mind. He wants to get it done, and he wants to put it out because it's going to be explosive. But anyway, Dave, I'm going off a little bit of train. I just want to just let our listeners know some of the, you know, the details with Tommy, and it does seem, isn't it, Dave, at this moment in time, because we never know. I mean, being a part of a prison system, ladies and gentlemen, there's a word called ghosting you. Now, if you're ghosted, that means they will come up to you and say, look, you know, Tom, we've got to move you. You're going. Get your gear together, you're going. And that's how they do it. They don't give you a bit of time to do it. They just get your gear together, you're on the move. And they normally got a van waiting for you, boom, you're off to another prison somewhere. So that's all we've been concerned about, that they don't try to put him in that same situation. Most people have been keeping a very close eye on the situation, because we, you know, the hellhole that it was put in before, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we're watching very closely. But the good thing about it is the prison, the governor has been visiting Tommy every day. He's getting, he's getting medical help every day. Something's coming about. He's make sure he's okay, things that he needs and all that. So at least he's in a better situation than he was in the last, hellhole. Let's call it that, hellhole that he was in. Because we were all quite concerned, wasn't we, Dave, about his psychological, not just his physical, but his psychological. You're stuck in there, it can affect your mind. And it came, well, especially at Onley, you know, having people saying they're going to cut your throat, they're going to rape your wife, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's what he had people were deprecating, throwing it through your cell window, you know, that sort of thing. That's puts you under all sorts of pressure, doesn't it, Dave, you know? But anyway, back to you, brother.
All right, we're going to begin this. Now, this is from Jessica of Rebel Media. This was done on the 16th. Okay, guys, so this was done just a couple of days ago. And this was after Jessica's visit with Tommy Robinson. This is four parts. Each of these is just over 11 minutes long. So, and we'll have a little bit of a comment after each one. No, we'll probably run our SHR media promos after this first one. But here we go, guys. This is the first part. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Hi, everybody. It's Jessica Schmitznowski here reporting for The Rebel. And as you can see, I'm in the back of a cab. I took a note out of Ezra's handbook, rushing to the airport to hopefully catch my flight. Because as you all know, yesterday's visit was canceled. So today I came back early in the morning to visit with Tommy. And first of all, he's doing well. The one thing that is a little alarming and he is worried about as well is that they are possibly going to be moving him because they want him in Luton, in court in Luton on September 3rd. And this isn't, he's not being trialed for anything, but they are trying to ban him from football matches. So on September 3rd, they are producing him in court in Luton, so they may be moving him, which isn't a good idea. I know he doesn't want to go. His solicitor said that he may have a say in the matter, choosing whether or not to go. But when you are produced to be somewhere in court, I believe they have the right to literally drag you out of, even if you're in a cell, drag you out and bring you to the court. So that is a possibility of moving Tommy out of Belmarsh to Luton for that date on September 3rd. That is the one alarming thing. Of course, it's not a good idea to move him. He is safe where he is. He's in his contingency suite. And of course, I'm very sorry for the quality of this video. I know it's a little shaky. The internet, I know, goes in and out a little bit. So I do apologize for the roughness of this video, but I wanted to speak to all of you as soon as I could, as soon as I got out of the prison. So I went through the checklist. He is getting his two meals a day, plus all his cans of tuna that he enjoys because he is a picky eater. So he gets loads of tuna. He's eating, he's getting his visits from the prison governor daily. He's getting his checkups, his physical and psychological checkups every day. And one of the things, he's also getting his mail. He's slowly getting his mail since last week, so that's definitely good news. He's been getting piles and piles every day because, of course, every single piece of mail, the prison has to check. They have to check everything that comes through before handing it to Tommy, because we know what kind of attention and trouble Tommy attracts. So he is slowly getting his letters. He's getting piles every day. He has loads of books. I know some people were sending me private messages asking about specific books that they have been sending him. So he didn't give me any titles. He didn't know on the top of his head, but he said he has a library. He has a library in his cell. He did explain to me about the conditions there. The cell is quite small, but you know, it's all he really needs in prison. The bed he sleeps on is a concrete block with a thin, about this thick, of like a cushion of a foam mattress that is on top of there. And he says he gets a blanket, but he doesn't use the blanket. He kind of sleeps, I believe, cross-armed like that, kind of vampire style. But overall, he is comfortable. So that is really, really good news. He's comfortable and he's eating. And when I saw him today, so this is my first visit with Tommy in prison, and he had a big smile on his face. And so that was really good to see. He seems like he's in good spirits. Which is so important, and of course, all the letters and support that everyone is giving him is really, really helping him. He's told me how grateful he is for all the support and housing it is, that even though he is stuck, he's in prison, his movement is not stopping. People are still so passionate, and this is probably, sending him to prison has probably made people even more passionate about the injustice and what's going on with free speech and freedom of press here in the UK, and the injustice of the government and the police here. He seems to have always two guards with him. His cell, they open up his cell at 9 a.m. where he gets to go out and exercise in the room next door. So at the visiting cell that I was in was quite small, and there was a little window with bars, of course, and there was a little court right outside, and that's actually the little court area that he gets to go outside when he doesn't get to see the sun. The walls are very, very high, and so even on a sunny day, if he is outside during the day, the sun doesn't even actually get to touch him. The sun doesn't actually reach that that area of the courtyard that he gets to pretty much just like walk in circles. There isn't much to do, of course, but so he exercises, which is great. And if anyone is curious, he's grown a beard, and his hair has gotten longer, so I think it looks great. I think it makes him look tougher. It's a good prison look. But he has said the first thing he's doing when he gets out is, on the way home, stopping at the barber's. So first, of course, he's very excited to get out on, I believe it's the 15th of September. And so yeah, as soon as he gets out, he's going straight to the kids and to the wife, but on the way, he'll be stopping at the barber. So he is doing well. The big, you know, and trying to talk to him, I was trying to get a sense of how he's really feeling, because of course he's happy to see anyone that's visiting him. He had a big smile, his eyes were quite bright, he looked good, he looked healthy. You know, he's been obviously doing a lot, he's been exercising a lot, So he has lost some weight, but not it, but in a seems in like in a healthy way, not like last time losing weight because he was starved. So I was trying to get a sense of how he's feeling. So one thing, I asked him how he's doing mentally and psychologically. He's getting his checkups, and what he said to me is, well, they come and they ask, well, how are you? He says, I'm fine, because he thinks he's fine. But the problem with that is he is isolated right now. Of course, he gets to see the nurse and the chaplain that comes in to visit him. So he does get human interaction. But last time he was in prison in solidarity, he thought he was fine as well. He thought he was doing okay, and he didn't realize how much he psychologically suffered. He only realized that when he got out. So he only realized how he was really doing when he got out. So that's the one thing, you know, I'm talking to him and he seems to be doing well. When you ask him how he's doing, he'll tell you he's doing fine. But that's exactly what he said last time when you would have asked him. He thought he was doing fine, and it was only after he realized he wasn't okay. After, of course, when he eventually got help with that, and we saw all the medications that he was put on after his last time in prison. Hopefully this won't be the case this time. And he seems to be, like I said, he seems to be doing well. He seems healthy. He gets his phone calls, so he gets to make phone calls in the mornings. He has, so from 9 until 11, he can be out of his cell. So his cell opens from 9 in the morning until 11. 11, he gets back into the cell. So during that time, he can exercise and pretty much make as many phone calls as he wants, which is good news. So the biggest alarm is what they're trying to do on September 3rd. They're trying to move him all the way to Luton for the court date on September 3rd to ban him from sporting events, from football events. Of course, we've heard the stories of, you know, his past of being in fights and scuffles like that. His main point is that he never starts the fight. If somebody antagonizes him and, you know, and they're following him, that's when he reacts. And so they're using this. I think it, part of it may be intimidation, making him scared of being moved. Of course, they would have pretty high security with if and when they'll be moving him. His solicitors will be visiting him next week to go over, so they'll, to get more to details about that. His solicitors also did tell him to, so with these visits, there's two types of visits. I think I went over this yesterday, but there is a social visit, which I was just at, and a legal visit. So the legal visit obviously is legal matters. It's usually lawyers, solicitors, things like that. And, so his solicitors actually told him, make sure you don't accept any legal visits unless it's from them. And he actually did get a request for a legal visit, which wasn't his solicitors. So Tommy believes it was police. So that is a little alarming.
All right, guys, that's the first part of it. And welcome back to the Instruments League Radio Show. Jeff, your reaction.
Well, it was, once again, Jessica was telling her how things was going. It was, I think the most unsettling thing is that we find that they want him to appear at, I think it's Luton's Magistrates Court, because mm-hmm. they want to ban him from... Because, as you know, he comes from Luton, guys, and he loves his Luton football town, and they're trying to stop him going to a football match with his family. But the question that jumps out at me, with all the security involved in him, them wanting him to go to the magistrates, why can't they just do the video, a video call from the prison to the magistrates? Tommy doesn't have to be dragged all the way down there. And there's a security issue involved in that as well, all the way to Luton magistrates, you know, which his life could be in danger at any stage of that trip. Why can't they just, as they know, he's in a top security prison. He's, you know, he's been segregated, exact, you know. If that's the case, he should have the same privileges as what anybody would. If they don't want to appear at a magistrate's court, which is, you know, it's rather pathetic, really. They couldn't hold back until he'd, you know, until he got out of prison, and then he could answer that, go to the court, you know, the magistrates, you know, when the time's called for. Why do they have to do it right now? It just makes it, to me, it's a bit of, you know, just messing him about a bit. You know, he doesn't want to go, so why can't he have a video, you know, do a video thing to the court? Because we've known this with other people to do it. Dave, you know, Tommy's a, you know, special character that they've got in the prison there. Why shouldn't they? If he doesn't feel that his safety, he feel, you know, insecure with what they're doing. But then again, they can drag you out and take you to the court. So that's the only problem, guys. But that's my thought about it, Dave. You know, the way I look at it. So, you know, I was just thinking, why couldn't they just video, Tommy do a video thing of how he would plead or whatever, and why should he have to answer the charge? It's pathetic, really, isn't it? It's pathetic. That's the way I look at it, Dave. Why should he, you know, that puts all sort of, you know, you're trying to do your time. Got about a month, just under a month left, I think it is, Dave. I think it's about the 15th. 15th of September, I think, is his release date, guys. So, just to let you know, I think it's round about that. And if I'm a few days out, my apologies. But he's got too long now. I mean, to Tommy, it's still a lifetime. Every day is a lifetime when you're banged up like that. But I'm so pleased to know that he's keep me. He's grown. Can you believe it, guys? He's grown a beard. I bet he looks all right, actually. I bet it suits him as well, Dave. Would you reckon?
Well, yeah, it's very likely. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of pathetic that while he's in prison there, wanting to take him to court for this this minor thing. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is part of an intimidation thing. They want him to be anticipating possible problems that might wind up keeping him in prison longer. You know, and as you say, I mean, there's a reason, folks, that this is Jeff's show, because I was thinking, well, why couldn't they just put him in a van, take him to Luton and deal with it and then bring him back? But no, Jeff, you've got the easier solution. Why not just do it on video? And plus, which it would save the state money to do it that way.
A lot of money, you know, Dave.
Exactly.
Lots
yeah. Yeah. It would save him on security and on a dozen other things. You know, so yeah, that really is what should happen. In fact, I hope he does suggest that so that they can get that done. But Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead right now and play the second part of this audio.
I just want to say, Noddy's made a comment there. You know, about the security issue. He said, exactly, Jeff, it's a security issue. Yeah, that's it, Noddy. Thank you for that comment,
yeah.
Brother. Yeah, back to you, Dave.
All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and play the second part of this. Again, all of these are just over 11 minutes long. And you are listening to Jessica of Rebel Media talking about her visit with Tommy Robinson on the 16th. And this is the English Defense League radio show. Here you go.
We don't know exactly what that legal visit would have been for, what the purpose was, but his solicitors made sure not to take any visits unless it's from them, and so they are you know, keeping an eye on that and making it really strict of who can talk to him about legal matters. So that is the biggest issue. I'm trying to, like I said, if you're just joining me, I am in the back of the cab on the way to the airport trying to catch my flights. And so I apologize for the poor internet quality or the shakiness and the bumpiness of the video. I did pass on all of your warm messages to him. He was very happy to hear. And like I said, the movement around him is amazing and he feels very good about it and it's really helping him. He said that he can, he's actually starting to put, he's been putting pictures up, pictures and letters up on his cell wall and using toothpaste. So that is a prison hack. If you ever end up there, you can use toothpaste to stick things on the wall. So I'm giggling. I'm trying to make light about the light of the situation. But he has that, so he has a bunch of pictures and letters up on his wall using toothpaste that he's stuck on. He said that he can 100% he can cover all of the walls, floor to ceiling, which are, he said, he did say, like, the ceilings are quite high actually in his cell, so it doesn't feel as cramped as you would think. But yeah, he said that if he can definitely cover the walls, floor to ceiling, with all the letters and pictures and things like that, that everyone has been sending. So he's been getting a lot of support. He's slowly getting his letters. Of course, he, like I said, the officers at the prison do have to go through each and every single letter to make sure there's, of course, no contraband and even worse, no no poison, no anthrax. So. He was dressed in his own clothes, which is pretty amusing. He, for the first time, so I asked him because I noticed he was wearing, his, I forget that brand, that English brand that all the football guys wear, his favorite brand, I forget the name of it, Stone something, who can remember? Leave it in the comments if you know which brand I'm talking about. And so when he showed up, so I saw he was wearing a t-shirt, black t-shirt, dark jeans, and some regular shoes. And so he actually, for the first time in his life, learned how to use a washing machine. Because of course, like I asked him, I was like, so who washes your clothes? Like, you get to wash them? Or they, do you just come in with what you have and deal with it? So he said that there is a washing machine, right? So his suite has his cell, the exercise room, Stone Island, there we go, thank you so much, Stone Island is the t-shirt he was wearing, and there's also a little laundry area in his suite. Sounds much nicer than it is, it's all concrete and no open windows, all bars on the windows, of course. And so he actually, the first time he had to do laundry, he just looked at the machine and didn't know what to do. Luckily, there was a female guard there to walk him through it. Sorry, I think the internet is cutting out. I'm just going to wait a moment. I think I'm still connected, I hope. But yeah, so he's been doing his own laundry, so he's learning even while he's in prison, although he said he is shrinking everything he owns there, so all his workout shirts are even tighter than before. He did mention, I asked him about Julian Assange, and he said he hasn't spoken to him since probably the first time. He's not really communicating that much with him. There are rumors around the prison that the guards say that Julian is a bit of a prick. I don't know. Tommy didn't really have an opinion on it. Of course, message of hard to communicate with anybody through the cells, but yeah, so he hasn't had much communication with him. Another person that shares that area, not the suite, but in that one area, he started speaking to a little bit, and it actually turns out that person, since he has stopped communication with that prisoner, the prisoner that is, I believe, doing life for raping and murdering a 16-year-old girl. So that is the prison that he's in. He's in a criminal high-security prison with, I believe it's around 1.2% of civil prisoners. So that's where he is. Those are the types of criminals there. And I did mention yesterday that Fridays aren't normal social visits. And being there today, there were quite a few people waiting in the visitors area. So I actually asked Tommy about it. And it turns out that Fridays are actually pedophile day. That's when all the visitors come to see prisoners that are there for pedophilia. So I don't know if that's irony or not that I ended up visiting him on this Friday, and that's why they made the exception. So the exception was they separate those prisoners, and even the visiting time for pedophile prisoners for Friday mornings. And so that's why the governor made it an exception for me to come in, because of course we all know Tommy is a civil prisoner. And so yeah, that's why I was able, that's why it wasn't normal for to have visits on Friday morning, because Friday mornings are pedophile day. So, like I said, this prison, Belmarsh Prison, has around 1.2% of civil prisoners, and the rest are, you know, murderers and rapists and pedophiles, things like that. So that's the prison that they sent him to. Even when Tommy was talking to some of the guards, they said, like, why am I here? And they said, well, you were at the Old Bailey. And he said, but why was I at the Old Bailey? So, of course, you know, we all know, like, the Old Bailey is a criminal court. Civil matters don't go through there. Contempt of court cases don't go through there. But, of course, this is not an average case. And, again, I see the internet is quite bad right now. I apologize. I just wanted to speak to everyone as soon as I could, because I know everyone's waiting to hear about how Tommy's doing, and also I wanted to have it fresh in my mind. If you guys have any questions, just type it up in the comments. And, okay, you're right. In Canada, I feel like it's not that big of a deal in the backseat of the car. Trying to think of what else. So Tommy's wife, the day before, made us a quick list of snacks that he likes to take, likes to eat. So when you finally get into, so like Ezra mentioned, the security is super, super high. They take your fingerprints. So you come in, you leave all your stuff in the locker. They have a strict dress code. I was able to just leave my necklace, the two here, so that was minimal. I didn't wear anything else because I didn't want to bother with it. So you leave all your stuff in the lockers, you get your fingerprints done, we had a guide. So I went in with a man named Peter. I'm not going to say his last name because I'm not sure if he's out in the public that much. So I did go in with a chaperone. He stayed behind to stay with Tommy. I had to leave early, unfortunately, but we did have a guard with us. And finally, there's all these so many, you know, heavy doors. You have to wait for somebody to open everything when you go through a certain, like, entrances. There's a small entrance and two doors, so you have to make sure you close both doors before going into the next room. You get your fingerprints done. You're in the waiting area. So we were in the waiting area with, you know, with several other people. And then when the visiting started, all the people went into one way, and I assumed I was going that way as well, but we actually went the complete opposite direction. So the, like I said, on Friday mornings, the visits, the prison visits are for the pedophiles.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, your comment, sir.
Well, I've just made a comment. When Jessica was saying about Fridays being a day where pedos' families go and visit or whatever, you know, it's hard to get your head around. I just made a comment in the chat to the guys here. I said, knowing the establishment, they would try and make it a national holiday day for pedos. Yeah, why do they want to take fingerprints? Yeah, this is what Noddy's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, this is what Noddy's saying. Why do they want to take fingerprints? Because it's the procedure what they do. You know, if you come in, say, from Canada or something like that, they want fingerprints to be taken. It's, you know, it's like it's all, it's just them trying to mess you about. It's just, you know, you've got to go through so many different checks going through prison. It's just unbelievable. They'll search you. They'll make you take certain things off. You know, you've got to put everything that they think could be used as some sort of contraband is put in a locker that you could pass on to, you know, the people that you're visiting. So it's just their way that they deal. It's the system just being the system there, Noddy. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. I just want to respond to what Noddy said there, mate.
Well, Noddy, that question had crossed my mind, too. You know, and there is a... there's a certain amount of registration that seems a bit invasive, even if you want to send Tommy Robinson an email at this emailaprisoner.com website, too. And, yeah, I think it is something that is designed to put some people off of trying to communicate with a prisoner, or in the case of Jessica, trying to visit a prisoner. They know they can't just deny visits. So, yeah, as Jeff says, they do what they can to mess with you to make it as uncomfortable as possible. And I find the other thing I find interesting is that they have Pedophile Day on Friday, because, as we know, that's the day that the Mohammedans go to their mosques and listen to all the hate preaching and everything. You know, I mean... I had to wonder, Jeff, as she was saying this, just how many of those people were there to visit Mohammedan pedophiles? My guess is quite a few, but of course we don't know. But that's what went through my mind on that particular part of this one. Yeah, so, Jeff, if you're ready,
we'll
go
have
ahead.
Seen, you know, you say that, Dave. What we have seen, where Tommy was at a prison... outside the magistrates, and you know, he was doing his normal citizen journalist thing, and there were some of the women was out there, and they were having a go at Tommy. I said, well, why are you up on there? Well, what's your problem? Shit, and they were swearing at him and all that. So, you know, no matter what they do, they're going to stand by him, even though they know. Their family knows they're low-life pedophiles. In their minds, it doesn't matter. That's what makes it so... It's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking to, you know, people, you know, that you realise that there's people condone that. You know, hurting young kids, passing kids around, trafficking them. And their families accept it because it's their culture. They say it's their culture. It might be their culture where they come from. It's not our culture, and we will stand against these horrible things that goes on. It's totally despicable. It's got no place in. It's got no place in a modern civilization. Unfortunately, the way the establishment's leading us down these dark passages, never going to put up with it. We're always going to stand against it, aren't we, guys? You know. Mate.
Yeah, I guess it does, Jeff. And I know you're going to want to call in maybe now. It's 25 after.
Dave, he always gives me a good head up. And when I'm on discussing things, all of a sudden I'm not looking at the clock and, you know, I'm talking about things, and all of a sudden the time just ticks by, isn't it, Dave? So thank you once again. Dave, let me pass it back to your brother.
Okay. And as Jeff calls back in, guys, I'll go ahead and say that before we start again, I'll say that, you know, what Jeff says just hits it right on the nose. You know, this is, Mohammedans don't think that this is bad. They don't think that this is evil. This has gone on ever since Islam was formed. This using kids, girls and boys, as sex toys. All right. It's disgusting, and it's been a civilizational taboo for a few hundred years now. You know, on a legal basis, and longer than that, on a social basis. All right. It is, I think, a little bit telling that that there was this big, huge crowd of people there waiting for the pedos. But I'm going to go ahead. I noticed Jeff is back. Welcome back, Jeff. I'm going to go ahead and play part three of this. Okay. And you guys, again, these are just over 11 minutes long. This is part three. Are you guys listening to the English Defense League radio show? Jeff, if you're ready, we're going to rock with.
Yep, that's right, Dave.
All right, here we go, guys.
Officer, security guard, to take us and walk us. And we met to one door, and then we met another officer with a dog to walk us to where Tommy is, to Tommy's suite. And again, of course, when I left, I needed a guard with me, which we waited for another guard with the police dog to take me back. And so it is just a long process just to get back and forth. There wasn't even the bathrooms were even locked. In the visiting area, they have some kind of rule that the bathrooms will only unlock when all the visitors are in the visiting area. So I'm not, like, from what I understand, that is to try and battle all contraband, like smuggling and contraband. So I'm not 100% sure how that would help if we're waiting for all the visitors to come in at once or not. So even the bathrooms were locked. So the security is very high. And again, I apologize for the poor quality of this video, but I wanted to get as much out as possible. So the points are, he is healthy as he can be, he's eating, he is exercising, he gets about half an hour outside in this, you know, in a quite small courtyard with high walls that the sun doesn't reach. So he gets his exercise, he has been learning to do his own laundry and shrinking all his clothes. I know his wife and kids are coming to see him tomorrow, so he's very excited about that. He'll be very happy to see them again. And the following week, his solicitors will be seeing him, and we'll be going over what's going on September 3rd. Because as we know, Tommy has about 4 more weeks in prison, and moving him at this point seems unnecessary. if they want to bring him to court for a ban, to ban him from football games, then it seems like that can be done the week after, or the week of when he gets out of prison. It seems very unnecessary to go through the hassle and the risk of moving him on September 3rd. So he will be talking to solicitors about that next week. I'm not sure when Ezra is coming back next. I hope to be back as well to make another visit. If you have any questions, quickly just drop them in the comments. I try to, I passed on all your warm wishes. And I'm really happy, I'm grateful, and I'm humbled that I'm able to be here and see him. It was really amazing to see him. I was there for his trial back in the Old Bailey, but I wasn't there for his sentencing hearing, unfortunately, so I haven't seen him since the trial. And so I'm very grateful that I got to see him today. And like I said, I'm humbled to be able to pass on the message to all of you, because I know how much support he's getting, and he feels the support. He really does. All the letters that he can cover his walls with are really inspiring to him and really helping him get through it. He says the prison governor here has been really great, has been helping him along the way. Making visits every day, which I believe they have to make visits. They're required to make daily visits when somebody is in those suites. But nevertheless, the governor does seem to be doing a good job. Even just the fact for getting me in today shows that the prison is trying to do the right thing here. I was told today that the reason yesterday's visit was canceled was, again, it was a staffing issue, but not an issue, it was a staff meeting. So they actually had some sort of briefing, some meeting that had to be done yesterday afternoon, and that's why all the visitations were canceled. So that was unfortunate. I don't think it was anything... I don't think it was a trick or anything against me being here or Tommy particularly. I think that's just what happened. And I think it's the governor making an exception for me coming in this morning, I think is a good sign. I think it's a positive sign. I just looking through your comments. Ezra is a really great friend of Tommy, that's for sure, and that's why he's going to keep going, because I knew of Tommy Robinson before I started at Rebel Media myself, and I had to say I was a fan of Tommy, and when I was assigned to go to the UK for his MEP campaign, I was thrilled, and I got to know him pretty well, and know the people around him and his family, and I got to know his supporters, all of you, and of course we see all the negative media attention that he gets, and I got to see firsthand that none of it is true. I got to see who he really is, and that's why we are so passionate. Me, Ezra, the Rebel, I can't speak for them, but I know myself, I'm so passionate about it, because Tommy is, he's a true fighter for freedom, and he is trying to do the right things. He sees the issues of what's happening in his cities, in his towns, in his country, and he's fighting for it. And he's sitting in prison for it right now, and I believe that's for all of us and for the country. I think he's there right now for us. And so that's why we are so passionate in making sure that we keep coming back, because what happened last time he was in prison is completely unjust and disgusting. And everyone was very worried about him going back to prison this time, because we had no idea the conditions he would be in. So I'm here to report that his conditions are fairly well. He's eating Yes, I sorry, again, sorry for this messy report I'm giving you, but I'm trying to remember everything that we talked about. Of course, we tried to make it as lighthearted as possible as well. We joked around a little bit, so it was good to see Tommy smile and laugh. His wife did give us a quick list of little snacks, so when you do come in the visitors section, there's a little area to buy some snacks, so they just have, you know, like pops and crisps and chocolate bars and things like that, and coffee. We weren't allowed hot drinks. I could have really used a coffee, but they didn't allow me a hot drink in the visit, which is all right. Tommy's wife did give us a quick list of snacks that he likes, so we got him a bottle of water, 2 cans of Diet Coke, and 2 packs of chicken crisps. And we would have got him more, but actually he's not allowed to take any of it back into his cell, so he's probably just chugging Diet Coke right now and trying to finish all his crisps in time. The other person I was with, the chaperone I was with, Peter, he's probably still there. He'll probably be leaving in the next... he'll probably be out by now. The visit, I believe, was an hour and a half, and I left. I wanted to leave. I was hoping to leave after half an hour, but I believe I did stay for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, because I did have to catch the flight, and hopefully I will make it. But I wanted to spend as much time with Tommy as possible and just talk to him. And so I got a sense of how he's doing, and I think he's doing well. He, of course, we were worried he wasn't getting his letters. That was a big red flag. Moving the times around was another red flag. But I feel like we can rest assured with that. The prison governor did help me out today. He has been receiving his letters, and he's just been getting stacks of them every single day. The one alarming thing right now is the court date in Luton on September 3rd. And I see here, during the super chat, you are free to pitch anything. Of course, it's not cheap to get us here to do these visits, but I think they're very important. So I just see here, Scott with £5. Thank you so much. Please say your surname slowly for me. Sometimes I think you find it hard to say it yourself. It's a long name. There's 13 letters in there, and I'm not gonna lie, when I spell it out for someone, if they stop me halfway and ask me to repeat something, I have to just start from the beginning, because it's just easier that way, and it just flows. If I have to start halfway, I'm going to get all mixed up with the I's and the O's and the W's. So my last name is Shvantonyovsky. Shvantonyovsky. So when I say it fast, and I know I'm a pretty fast talker, I know sometimes it's hard to catch Jessica Shvantonyovsky that quickly. But,
Yeah, Jessica. That's what I'm going to keep calling her. Welcome back to the Eagles Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Well, Jessica, she wants every, you know, because like, when Ezra, just before she flew out to the UK, Ezra said he wanted every detail that Tommy said she needed to share that. He told her to do a video as soon as she come out of prison. But basically, she had to get to the airport to catch her connection back home to Canada. So that's the reason why it's a little bit jerky now and again. You know, she was just using the Wi-Fi from the cab itself, which is really good, actually, you know. So it didn't drop off too much. But there was a lot of information that she put out there. Jessica had done a fine job. I've got to admit, she's a pretty awesome young lady, and you know what I mean? What can you say? Sure. We need people like Rebel Media to do what they do, because, as I say, you can't expect normal, the mainstream media of this country
to report on anything impartially. They will just tell it and spin it like they always have done, because, you know, they're part of the system. So, yeah, it's good to see independent journalists coming over, not spinning anything, telling it the way it is, because most people just want to hear the truth. That's it, you know, just the truth. We don't want you to spin things. We read between your spin, and we don't need it. That's why most of us don't even, none of us are involved with mainstream, because they just like it so much, Dave. I mean, you know, it's, I say it's dead, it's gone. But so I did want to say, I'm just glad to hear that Tommy is, you know, is doing well. That's it. Yeah, Emma, as Noddy said, mainstream media are a waste of time.
They are a complete waste of time.
They try to think as though people really take them serious, and it's quite obvious. If you look at the statistics, there, them selling their papers and that, it's hit all-time lows. So they're not going nowhere fast. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's it.
It's
but,
the same here in the States,
something I've got to say, Dave, which I don't want to forget, because it's the great lady Rebo was talking about today. She was talking about something on Google. Right now, there's a lot of people who's been, you know, blacklisted and this, that, and the other, and, you know, it's in the all these algorithms and all that. But she was reading through it, you know, like Alex Jones, et cetera, et cetera. She said, we have got a, we got someone here, EDL. She said, it's strange, but it seems that you don't seem to be blacklisted. You must try harder. I said, well, I will mention it. We got to try harder because we're not blacklisted from Google yet. But once we are saved, it's probably they'll start looking into us now, because, you know, it's like, well, we do these, right? Hang about, we haven't checked out on the EDL. I mean, they've already took away our, you know, our PayPal page. So, I mean, we took something up a bit different, which made sure that people can still donate to the organisation. But they did do a lot to us. I mean, all this... this great purge that they had on us, we was affected big time. But, you know, it's that we're not going nowhere. You know, it's just we're moving targets, aren't we, Dave? We just keep on.
Yeah, that we are.
As I say, it is what it is. But yeah, as I say, the only thing at the moment I'm thinking about is, you know, that I hope that someone has talked to me. I think he's seen his legal team this week sometime, Tommy. I hope someone does mention about, look, this court case, you know, let's see about it being videoed. You can do a video thing, and the court can see you. You can see them, but you don't have to be on that, travelling all that distance. I hope someone's listening to the show this evening that can pass this information, because it's the way that Tommy can still have his security, can still, you know, whatever they want to ask him in the court, he can say, look, you know, this is wrong. Or his brief can speak on his behalf. I mean, that's it. You know, it's wrong. I mean, what about the guy, his family? You know, it's just, once again, they're just trying to cause him problems, like they always have done, Dave. Anything to cause him problems. But, Dave, yeah, back to you, brother.
All right, yeah. Now, we do have one more from Jessica, and that will conclude it. This will be, again, just over 11 minutes. Appreciate that, Jeff. And we're going to go ahead and roll this since the clock is ticking. All right. We're going to do this here. This is the English Defense League radio show. And you're listening to Jessica from Rebel Media talking about her visit with Tommy Robinson on the 16th. And this is the last segment of this audio. Here you go, folks.
Yeah, I will be, like I said, so I'm heading to the airport now. I want to spend as much time on this live stream as I can without boring everyone, because I'm just trying to, you know, think of what else he said to me. He doesn't find anything quite alarming. He's quite comfortable. Let me just look through some comments. So if you did pitch into the Super Chat, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Everything helps get us back here. Just looking through your comments. So for those of you who didn't hear earlier, they're trying to move him, not move prisons, but move him to They call it producing for court. So they're trying to produce him for court in Loudoun on September 3rd. So that process of moving him from the prison all the way to Loudoun, it just involves risks and high security. And again, it just seems like a very random date, because we know that he's out in 4 weeks, and this is a ban. So this court date is for a ban from football matches, and I guess certain areas in cities. So that, it seems like that can wait. It doesn't seem like it's dire to do on September 3rd. So that is the one alarming thing. Other than that, he's eating, he's doing well. He has a visit with his wife and kids tomorrow, which he's very, very excited and looking forward to, of course. He has a meeting with his solicitors next week, particularly about this court date on September 3rd. So, no, Tommy Robinson and Julian and such, they haven't been speaking. They spoke maybe the one or two times when they discovered each other in the same area, but other than that, they haven't been communicating. He has no communication. He hasn't seen a single prisoner, because I even asked when I noticed that he was dressed in his regular clothes what the other prisoners wear, but he doesn't know. He has no idea what color the prison uniforms even are. And I just want to say, Helga, thank you so much. I see $5 here. And yes, Tommy is all right, and I'm sure we're all very happy to hear that. So thank you all for staying with, not only staying with the story, but sending Tommy all of your support. He is getting his letters now. He's very excited. I think he's doing well. I really do. He thinks he's doing well himself. Of course, when he said that, he recalled that triggered, I think, like a memory of last time he was in prison. He remembered thinking he was all right then, and very clearly, very soon after he left prison, he realized he really was not all right. So hopefully this is not the case this time. Hopefully he really is doing better. He seems to be doing all right. Like I said, the prison governor seems to be really working with us and with Tommy to make it, you know, as positive as possible while you're in prison. And if you have any last quick questions, something that I didn't touch on, please go ahead and write it in the comments. I will be checking my Twitter until I board my flight, which is at 12:30. So I think I'll be okay with making it, I think. So I will be checking my Twitter comments and messages, so if I miss something, I'll definitely reach out to all of you. And the release date is September 15th. And so he has about 4 weeks left. He's feeling relieved. He's, of course, getting a little antsy. He did say that he seems he says he's doing fine. He says he's been getting his phone calls, he's been getting his visits, he's been getting all his letters now and books that he has a library in his cell. So he has he seems like he has a lot of reading to do. He also did say how when he reads the letter, he'll put it to the side and he actually organizes them in groups and categories. So like people writing him letters about like a story of theirs, he'll put that. So he has different piles, different categories of his letters that he's been receiving, and he has a category for things to follow up on. So if he hears from somebody and they tell him some story that has really triggered him. So there's one woman I hope I can share. Of course, I don't know her name or where she lives, where she's from, but he did get one letter from a woman who was in church and asked the priest to, I believe it was during a mass, so for them all to pray for Tommy. So they had a prayer, they actually allowed it, and they had a prayer for Tommy Robinson, and shortly after, she was actually kicked out of the church. So things like that, stories and letters that have that much reach and shocking to kick somebody out of a church for praying for Tommy Robinson. Even the Bible says that we should pray for our enemies, but not for Tommy Robinson, apparently. So it's shocking. So I know he really took note of that, and that letter really did affect him, and so he has that aside, and he has a pile of letters that he wants to follow up on. So he wants to actually follow up and go back to it when he's out and hopefully make some visits and reach out to some people about these. So that's really interesting. That was interesting for me to hear, not only that he's reading the letters and getting inspired by the letters, but he's also actually piling them aside and categorizing them and planning on following up. So of course I asked him what his plan is as soon as he gets out. He has a lot planned, and especially like with these letters, I think that has really inspired him to keep going. But other than that, when he gets out, he said he's going straight to the family, to the kids, to the wife, and on the way he's just going to stop at the barber for a shave and a haircut. So I will, I'll leave it at that for now. If anyone wants to reach out to me, you can do that on my, my personal Twitter. Hopefully I will be back to visit Tommy, and we will keep you posted, and especially on, about this business of moving him to Luton on the 3rd for that court date. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully we'll get news about it next week after he speaks to the solicitors. He'll be seeing his wife and kids tomorrow. So that is all good news. Other than that, it's my pleasure to report that Tommy Robinson is doing well. He is healthy. He's as, you know, in good spirits as he can be. He goes outside when he can, he gets his exercise in, he gets his meals in, he gets his extra cans of tuna that he enjoys, and yeah, so it was really amazing to see him. It was a pretty surreal feeling yesterday when I was standing on the prison grounds, knowing Tommy is in there, but just I was unable to see him and they wouldn't allow me to see him. It was a pretty strange feeling. It was pretty surreal, and reality really hit me. I was like, wow, this guy is in prison. So I'm very happy, and I feel honored to have been able to be a person to visit him, and I'm humbled that I can pass on all these messages to all of you. So again, I'll be, if you missed anything, you can check out, I believe, is going up on Rebel Media's page, so you can see it till I'm back in Toronto when I am home. So I am reporting from a taxi on the way to Gatwick Airport. I was just in Belmarsh Prison visiting Tommy Robinson, and I am pleased to report that he is doing well. And take care, everybody. Thank you so much for keeping up with the story. Thank you to anybody who helped pitch in on my flight and accommodations here. So I was able to come and make this visit. So thank you to all of you. And I'm Jessica Shvezniewski for The Rebel. Take care.
Well, there you go.
There you
go. The full report. Well done, Jessica. Absolutely awesome. But Dave, we're running right down to the edge now, and you know, we're almost going to wrap the show up. But I've got to thank our guests who's joined us this evening. Remove the Cabal, and of course Noddy. Thank you for joining us this evening, guys. We appreciate
Thank you, fellas, being here.
Really lovely to see you lads sitting here with us this evening. Thank you so much, Dave. I mean, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you? Well, they'll have to look at you on a beach somewhere, wouldn't they, Dave? You know, I mean, it's a border. Go on, my old son. Go where they can find you.
Well, I tell you what, guys, you'll be getting, shows you haven't heard before. If you're listening to this at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, you're going to get shows that you haven't heard before. Right now, Jeff, they're going to be hearing the show that we did on the 21st of July. That's how far back they are. You get these shows in little 30-minute kind of niblets. It's a little bit easier to handle if you don't have a lot of time. My regular show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. in the U.K., and my other show time is Saturday at midnight Eastern in the United States. That's 5 a.m. in the U.K., and there's going to be new stuff all the way through while we're gone, and, of course, we'll be back on the 5th. We've got some bang-up archive shows available for you guys to listen to. And I just want to say, folks, I appreciate each and every one of you. That's what I say at the end of the old Unpleasant Blind Guy shows, and I still mean it. Jeff, and this goes to you, Jan. I love you both like family, and you're always in my thoughts and prayers, as are you, our great listeners. And I just want to say to everyone, before I head out the door, be blessed and no surrender ever. See you on the 5th, guys.
And all what Dave said, I agree. Just be safe, be vigilant, and we'll see you. Well, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, but you've got a lot of interesting shows ahead of you, and a special archive just for you wonderful guys out there. So for myself, Dave, from the team, Rainbow Associate with the English Fence League Radio Show, the great organisation. We are out of here, guys. Good night, God bless, and no surrender ever. Here we go.
You like
good night. Stop.
Well, there you go, and that's it. That's the end of our live transmission. Anybody that's listening now, you're listening into the archive section of the show. But once again, I've got to thank people that has joined us this evening. And I'm so sorry to the Conservative Watchtower that you joined us just as we was wrapping things up. I hope that you'll come and visit us more often. It was good to see you. And Remove Cabal, thank you very much, brother, for joining me this evening, Joss. And, of course, my dear friend Noddy as well. And with the great Discord. Come from the Discord team, guys. Sunday Long Live Radio. Absolutely awesome people, guys. And I love this. I love this new radio show on Sundays. I really do. So, Rehobo, I'm plugging your show. I'm so young with you. I love you guys. I love what you do. I love the way it's going. But anyway, for myself and Dave, yeah, we're out of there for a little while. But you know what? Please listen to some of our archive. We've got some great people on there. You know, Tommy, Pamela Geller. You've got a few surprises there. So, you know, we'll see you back on our things. I'm born for the 5th. So, and then we'll be doing a special for September the 11th. So, with that, for myself and Dave, and the team, the organisation, and media team out there, wave to you guys. God bless you for all the great work you do. So, with that, let me see. What was I going to do now? I've just got to say thank you all so much. Everybody out there who's listening to this this radio show this evening, or listening to the part of the archive now, thanks so much, guys. And we'll see you again in the very near future. So take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and we'll catch you later. This is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight, but we'll see you in the very near future. No surrender ever. God bless.